Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we are going to be looking into the heart of God and building on faith.
God stepped out of heaven and became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that a father's love and care could and would be demonstrated in person to heal and comfort those that are so desperately hurting. He said that the Son has declared the Father. We'll say then that Jesus came to reveal the Father. So we can start to get to know the character of our Father by looking at the Son.
This is Sharon Hoskins, and I'm here with Janie Ratzliff. Thank you all for joining us today. And, you know, looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And so we're kind of basing our foundation on faith. Faith is the foundation for the building blocks to spiritual growth. So we want to look at virtue is the excellence, you know, the desire to do right. And so as we learn to love the Lord, we have to know what He looks like, recognize who He is. And so today we're going to be looking at God's heart and who God is.
Looking at God's heart is an absolutely overwhelming delight.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that we can ever, ever know the depths of that heart and the depths of that love and what security and hope in the worst of trials can it bring when we realize that the Father heart is known as Abba Father.
Yeah.
And I did a little bit of looking up on the internet on how many times are words spoken. That always has a curiosity for me. And I found that in the New Testament, they said that Father was found 418 times. And over half, I think it was like 264, referred to God as Father. Now, that may not seem like a big, important concept, but when a lot of us have known Him as the cosmic policeman or the distant man far off that came in and did a project creating the world and then went off to some of His other projects, like many fathers do in the natural, then it becomes incredibly important to understand where His heart is focused.
Yeah, He's referred to a lot like the man upstairs, you know, and that puts distance also between us and God.
Because a lot of times we think He just clangs the pipes when He doesn't like what we're doing.
Right. You
know? And so, well, we know that a father, one of the father's chief functions in a family, if he is a godly man, well, and even the natural men, many are this way, and they want a family that is whole and healthy. They want a family where they can have relationships. And so many times we have been taught in our churches that God's chief function is to send His Son to get us out of hell and into heaven. And that is a side perk. That's like getting the good 401s or what have you on your business.
Right.
But He came to reveal, Jesus Christ came to reveal God the Father so that we could have the security, the comfort, the understanding that we need to live in a ravaged, torn world that has a cultural system that is controlled by Satan. And he is a pretty strong foe, and we do live in hostile territory. And so if I can sound childlike, I want my daddy near me.
Yeah, and that was something I was going to say when you said Abba Father. That's the kind of daddy-like
fondness.
Abba Father, like we would call our father daddy.
Right. Well, we'll say then that Jesus came to reveal the Father. And there's just a couple of scriptures. John 1:18, he said that the Son has declared the Father. So we can start to get to know the character of our Father by looking at the Son. John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. And then I love John 14:7-9, where he said to his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because the Father God Almighty is spirit, and we that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, I'm not that familiar with how to casually work with an unseen force. I like looking at your face today.
Right.
If the Lord decided to take your body away right now, but we could still hear your voice, I would have some comfort, but I would want to be able to look at your eyes.
Right.
You know, so we are geared to seeing something that we can identify, and the Lord knew that. And so the thing that gives me comfort in this concept is that Jesus Christ will always have a body where we can see Father God through the life, the body of Jesus Christ. And that is so comforting. And I believe from what I've studied that we'll be able to see the scars of the cross in his hands and feet throughout all of eternity, reminding us that he is the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, but he's also the Lion.
Yeah.
And that will give us a surety for whatever he has planned for us next that we really don't know, except he's telling us, get prepared.
Right. And that is our call, too, is to represent the Lord.
Yes.
As Christians, just as Jesus said, I and my Father are one. We have the ability and the right and the position to be able to say that today, that my Father and I are one.
Oh, yeah.
We are to resemble Christ. We are to be Christ-like, and we are to take on some of the attributes that God is.
Yes.
And so there are things that we can do with our attitude, with our daily decisions, with things in our life as believers to look more like Christ.
And a good way of that has helped me as growing old is I know that I cannot trust my opinions and perceptions even after all the years that I have lived.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about myself having to be like an empty pitcher. And as I wait on the Lord in the morning in his word, he pours into my vessel himself, because his words are life. So we have conversation, and that goes into my innermost being. Then it is my joy and responsibility to then let him work that out, to give the power of God in my weakness to work that out so that you can see it or someone else can see it, and they can then see life, just not hear instructions. I'd like to tell people that, yes, the Bible is a textbook, but it's also a love letter.
Right.
And we need to see it in that way, just not being a textbook.
So do you think that people see God and Jesus as the same?
Oh, absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely not. And I will use an experience of the many years that Bob and I counsel. And we had a little test because we saw trends developing with people who were wounded, who had anger, who had fear, and they were not able to overcome. And we're giving them scripture, we're giving them truth and life, and they're still struggling tremendously. So we devised a little, just a short test. It had a few other questions on who do you think God is, and how do you see him as your Father, and who do you think Jesus Christ is, and how do you see him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reports came back glowing. Jesus was, and I don't want to be common, but he was the good old boy. He was a good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that took care of me. He's the one that died for my sins. And they were really quite acceptable of Jesus Christ, which obviously now today has become quite controversial.
Right.
But when you ask them who God was as their Father, you got blank stares, you got that deer in the headlight look, or you just got silent. And then as they would describe him, you realize they were describing a God that they knew in the form of their earthly father. So if he was a workaholic, if he was distant, if he was legalistic and enforceful, if he was passive and just maybe there in body but didn't communicate with him more than 6 minutes a day, that was their perception of Father God. So when you talk to them about God and everything that the Lord has said, mm-hmm. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. That wouldn't tie in to their thinking, so much less.
Do you think that they more attribute that to Jesus than they do God?
Yes, because they did not realize that God stepped out of heaven and became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that a father's love and care could and would be demonstrated in person to heal and comfort those that are so desperately hurting. And you said something to me the other day that I liked when you said that you first learned about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit through a very practical application of the three forms of water. Do you want to just give that little girl interpretation that you heard?
Well, just that they are all the same substance. They are all water, but you have steam and you have ice, and then you have the liquid form of water. And, you know, I don't remember exactly which was supposed to represent which, you know, as far as, you know, which was the Holy Spirit and the thinking behind that, but that all three were made from the same substance. Even though they were in different forms, they all were still just water.
Yeah.
So, and that's how I learned about the Trinity being God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? That they're all of the same substance, being God.
Well, and I had a similar experience when I was about six, and I was given a book about an apple. And there's the skin of the apple that protects, but still has nourishment in it. And then there's the meat, the fruit of the apple, which is the good, juicy part that we really go for. And then there's the seeds. You wouldn't have an apple without the seeds, but you certainly wouldn't want the seeds to be what you would eat of the apple. So there's three components that were all an apple, but they each have different roles. They even have different functions to make the apple complete. And that was something that I could begin to get a grasp on as I ate my apple. I used to look and think, okay, am I eating God the Father? But I did realize that there could be three in one. And in counseling, you would realize that is still a very foreign concept to many, many people that have been church for years.
You know, do you think it has anything to do with us trying to logically put things together instead of believing by faith?
Yes, and I think that many times it comes from even, I will be generous in saying, the innocence of the way church doctrine is sometimes taught. There have been down through the ages where the Holy Spirit was almost never to be mentioned.
He
was just never mentioned. And so then there has become a time when he has really almost usurped the role of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, exactly.
And that is imbalance, which the triune Godhead would not describe themselves as. So we know that man has, for whatever reason, chosen to camp out on certain aspects of the scripture.
Right. And that reminds me of times that I've heard people pray to the Holy Spirit and they pray to Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave us a model.
That
we were supposed to implement. Thank you. Praying to God,
yes.
Not to the Holy Spirit and not to Jesus. And so,
And when we're making our request, you're absolutely right. Now, our listeners should have the freedom to be able to speak with any member of the Godhead. There are times that I might go and just say, Lord Jesus, I am so perplexed about this. Or Lord Jesus, there is pain And I ask that the Comforter that you have sent, the Holy Spirit, be real to me. And then I might say, Holy Spirit, I know you're within, and I know you know every cell that's functioning in the body or dysfunctioning in the body. And I'm trusting the Triune Godhead to work through your power and your might and your place and your position in my life.
That's good, Janie. That's really good. That helps clarify a lot of things.
Yeah. So when I'm making my petitions or my request for, in 2 Timothy, where it says, first of all, let's let you make your petitions for all those in leaderships, your intercessions, so that we might live a quiet and peaceful life, then I know that that is really directing me to go to God the Father. However, I know that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are equally is active in bringing that into a reality by the Holy Spirit orchestrating circumstances, by God being by God the Son being responsible for all things, because God the Father says He has given all things unto the Son. So something that came across to me this week that was new in the way it was expressed, Sharon, and I find it being vitally important as our nation is going through a transition. I think it's been true forever, but it became really applicable to me, and that is that we need to be memorizing Scripture in large portions, because it is the Word of God and it is life. It's just not information. And the reason we need to be doing that is so that we can group when we go to warfare. We've got our groupings down pat. I can go from Proverbs where it says these are the seven abominations unto the Lord. I can flip over to James 3 and see a category there that allows me to go back and see in Ephesians 4 where the gaps are, where Satan can come in. I can have a list of it says if you do this, you open the door up to Satan. And I'm prepared to do battle. Then I can also have grouped with that the solutions in James: resist the devil and submit to the Lord and he will flee, rather than just trying to get a verse here, get a verse there. Recently I had someone who I know is really probably got an independent rebellious spirit. And they were declaring that, well, they were just weak and the power of God would just do everything for them. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, being weak is not the same as being rebellious and independent. So if we have our verses known in large portions that help balance that out, then that's going to help a lot of people not rely on the truth of God in a non-biblical form. You know, and that's how probably a lot of our denominations have maybe even formed. I'm not a historian, but we've taken one facet of the truth. Well, God is truth, but we need to see how He has presented Himself. And that's why you and I are doing this study.
Yeah, looking at His heart and His characteristics.
And one of the main thing He wants is He wants intimacy. He wants that intimacy. And I find that if we choose to try to be intimate with Him when we really don't know Him, then we're not going to trust Him. We're not going to put our faith in Him. We're not going to put up that shield to quench all the fiery darts. We're not going to probably have hope in Him. And then we're still going to be trying to love Him and serve Him. And so, Sharon, now, you know, what does that produce in any person who is trying to live, I led two lives?
Well, in part of it, it produces self-righteousness because you're doing everything within yourself. If you're not trusting in the Lord and relying upon Him to do things through you, to work His will, then it's all our will and all our doing. And so then it becomes self-righteousness.
Yes. And then if we even flip back to the Old Testament, it becomes vanity. Nothingness.
Yes,
nothingness. And James 1:6 is a sobering verse, but a very comforting verse as far as exhortation is concerned. And it says that we have to ask in faith. And if we doubt, okay, so let's just make this practical. I'm going to think I'm asking in faith. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to ask for something that I think I need. You hear a lot of I's in this little paragraph. Okay. Then James 1:6 says, if you've got a double mind, if you've got a double standard you're trying to work out, then you're going to be unstable in all your ways. And then the last part of that passage says, and you can expect nothing from God. Mm-hmm. Now, that could cause me to question my salvation. That could cause me to question everything. So then I need to know my verses and the context of which this is being written. This is being written not about you losing your salvation or what have you. It's letting you know that you're not going to have some of the benefits actively working in your life if you're a double-minded man, switching from a mind of the flesh to the mind of the spirit, back and forth, back and forth. You're going to be unstable.
So it all goes back to knowing who God is.
Yes. Yes.
And so as we look at who God is and who we define him to be, because who he is and who we define him to be are probably two different things in most cases.
Would you say like from the east, from the west?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we know who God is, not who we think he is, but who he really is.
And in this going back to this James 1:6 verse, James warns us about the emotional consequences if we're going to be double-minded. Mm-hmm. And so when we work with people in our churches or in the daily lives, we need to be keying in on listening to their words, because if their words are not actually matching their lifestyle, then that should give us a red signal. And I'm just going to, before you wrap things up, I'm just going to give you a paraphrased verse out of Colossians 2:9, and it says that for in his physical body every attribute of the Godhead continuously and permanently dwells. So that means that Father God is always going to be able to be seen throughout eternity in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't ever have to worry about how we're going to deal with spirit. We will always know that Spirit is there, and God the Spirit is the eternal Godhead, but he has blessed us with the tenderness of his heart, which is what you mm-hmm. talked about earlier, of letting us have a live representation that we can see throughout eternity of the person that died on the cross, so that all of this could be a reality and we can have eternal life and victorious life and a loving, intimate relationship throughout eternity. And for those that don't have a loving, intimate relationship with children or spouses right now, that to me would be a real winner on why I want to know Father God and all of his ways.
Now, you said earlier that a lot of times we correlate God with our earthly father.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have a father who's distant or who's not there for us, or, you know, who works all the time or so on and so forth, that we kind of look at God the same way. And you have a test to
yes.
check us
yes.
on that. And so we will have that available on the website under the teaching handouts for those who want to grab that and take that test.
And it's a very, very simple test. There's no right or wrongs. It's more like an evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I like about the test is it gives the answers.
Okay.
I mean, we don't even have to do multiple choice.
Okay.
And that should be an incentive to get into it, because they don't have to say, well, I wonder how I did on the test. There will be each category, there will be lots of scriptures to document why Jesus is and God are your provider and your king and everything that we need.
Right. And now there's several pages of this.
We don't want to overload.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will give you the test this today, and then we will assimilate and dish out each week as we talk about the different roles that the Godhead plays. Then we'll post them each week.
All right, Janie. Well, I think we are out of time, and I just want to ask you to continue to join us in this study as we look at God's heart and dig into more of what we can do to just draw closer to Him and change our perception of who we have thought He is and get into some depth and truth of who He really is for our lives. And that will help our faith grow.
Yes.
And to help us be stronger in the Lord.
This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.